Okay, welcome everybody. This is Calvin Cassavet. We're having a special work session regarding CY20-16, regarding access to marine facilities. And then I wanted to have a broader discussion about the COVID-19 response as well. Again, this is a work session. Thanks for calling in everybody, and I guess I'll have Karen.
Okay. Vice Mayor Cannamore.
Here.
Susan Warner.
Here.
Councilmember Warner. Councilmember Clark.
Present.
Councilmember Van der Zanden.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Owens.
Here.
And Mayor Cassavet.
Here.
Okay, everybody's here.
Okay, great. The first thing I wanted to talk about is I know Shelley sent out another draft of the resolution CY20-16. I hope everybody had a chance to see that. It was went out earlier today. We'll talk about that. But before we started, I kind of wanted just to go around to the council members. And I just want, just so I get an idea about, I just kind of want three kind of overall questions, if you want to ponder them and kind of just, we can begin the discussion. But, you know, where do we go from here? How do we get there? And then some timeframes about how, timeframes and how that's going to happen. You know, things are moving real quickly. I think everybody's aware that the interstate 14-day quarantine requirement is still in place until June 2nd. We don't know about what happens after that. And we also know that as of Friday morning, the governor is basically saying 100% open for business. So, you know, that's probably not the right words. That's not exactly what he said, but that's kind of how it, you know, in my mind, how it all plays out. So I'm hoping that maybe we can have this little bit of discussion first before we go off into working on the resolution. So, does somebody want to go first? Okay, Mike, go ahead. You were first.
Thank you, Cal, and I'm glad you gave us an opportunity to think about the overall picture before we get into the resolution, because the resolution sort of nests into that, and you know, what we do with that resolution should reflect our overall feeling about what we can do. And just briefly, I'm thinking we need a two-part strategy. One is to try to influence the state to keep the quarantine in place for outside Alaska, but open up Alaska to Alaskans internally, where our risks are lower than the lower 48. In other words, treat Alaska as a travel bubble, like it's being done between some countries such as New Zealand and Australia now. And then on the city side, I don't think that we can do much more than apply what the state is giving us to do, what the state guidelines and mandates are. I don't think it's sustainable for us to try to keep meeting all travelers coming in. It's just not something we've got the staff and the ability probably to do. But we can work with our businesses, number one, to make the best use of those guidelines, perhaps require them to post, to make those guidelines or send those guidelines to us and we put them on the city website, and then work with them to make the most of those guidelines. And I would include that since we still have the power within the existing mandates to control use of the dock by people that are under quarantine, I would include doing that with that resolution. But essentially, we'd only be working within what the state has available to, you know, has made available to us, not trying to do much more than that. And that's my view for where we go from here. Thanks.
Mike, just as far as time frames go, is that something that we try to get done here in the next week or so? Because keep in mind, that's when the current 14-day travel, 14-day quarantine for out-of-state travel presumably would go away.
Yes, I think that administratively you could write a letter to the governor with those ideas. And by the way, I sent you and the clerk a document about 45 minutes ago, just with an outline of the steps for both dealing with the state and then dealing internally. And I think we send a letter to the governor as soon as possible. I'm happy to help you work on that if you'd like. And then we'd also would send a letter to businesses as soon as possible, asking them for now to please comply with the state guidelines, do their very best to protect the residents of Gustavus and prevent and also protect their own employees and their customers from COVID by following the guidelines that the state has put forward. And we would work with them in that regard. So short term is a couple of letters like that. And then long term, or maybe over the next few weeks or by the early June, we might consider an ordinance to back up those guidelines whereby the city would require businesses to submit their plans to us and to follow the plans that they develop. And we would monitor compliance and the public would join us in monitoring compliance to make sure it's working. So that's kind of my two-part guide timetable. Thanks.
Okay, Joe Clark, I have you next. Again, this is kind of like three questions. Where do we go from here? How do we get there? And then timeframes. So go ahead, Joe Clark.
How was that after last week? Our first plane, according, I spoke to Jeff Crane, he said that works out at the airport. He said that they are still on schedule to have our first Alaska Airlines plane come in on June 4th. I think that we should do our best to move forward with following our state mandates and the schedule they have for lifting restrictions. I have a question for Mike. These letters you speak of, would the point be to impose further restrictions for a further length of time? I know I saw Shelley's letter earlier today, and it gave that appearance to me. I'll just wait for your reply.
Mr. Mayor, did you want me to reply?
I'm sorry, I'm fumbling with my phone. But go ahead. A quick answer to Joe there, and then I'll go to Shelley for her opening remark.
If I understood it right, I would not try to impose anything significantly beyond the state requirements or schedules. We would work with their guidelines. I don't think we have the capability to do much else. Plus, if we're following the state guidelines, we're open to a lot less criticism from business and so forth. We're doing only, you know, what the state's recommending, and we're asking them to do only what the state's recommending. But I wouldn't add to it or change that schedule, I don't think. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, Shelley, go ahead. You're next.
Okay, I agree with Mike's proposal. The only other thing I would add is that we have an opportunity, at least since May 12th, the Alaska Municipal League said that any community that would like to have more restrictions than currently being proposed needs to contact Commissioner Crum to discuss, which was the reason that I sent the letter. With the interstate travel mandate and quarantine, there are two things that would be useful to us. One is the receiving a copy of the mandated travel form so that we would know who is required to be in quarantine. And the other is to receive a copy of the business plan, the COVID mitigation plan that the businesses are preparing. The change that has been made in that plan is that formerly it was mandated to be provided to the state, and the state, the governor was saying, I think yesterday, that he's going to be transitioning from mandates to guidelines. And we're told by the state that they're not even reviewing the plans, that they're basically for the businesses to have available, you know, for their employees and their clients. So in the letter that I had written to the Commissioner Crum, as a citizen, not as a council member, I had made the suggestion that we also be provided with a plan. I suppose the idea is that we work as closely as possible as we can with the businesses and provide them any assistance we can to help them work out a way to not endanger our community to the best available means that they can. The other thing that the governor was talking about was he was talking about maybe stepping back the 14-day quarantine to not be quite as long. But he was also saying, he mentioned a couple of times that he plans to be working with the airlines. So it may be that they're trying to do a workaround at the port of entry for incoming travelers from out of state to be tested. Which actually would be beneficial to us as long as we were able to get testing before people actually arrive here in Gustavus. The third, I guess, in addition to the letters to the businesses, and I would suggest a letter to go out from the city to Commissioner Crum and asking for, and in terms, it's not really a restriction, but if we're going to be, there'll be people that will be coming in from out of state, and they'll be coming in, and it would be helpful to us to know who is under quarantine so that we could do what we can to try and minimize their exposing us to COVID-19. That's about all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Shelley. And as I'll ask you for timelines or timeframes, I'm assuming the letters are something that you're, just like Mike was saying, is something that you could do administratively through through the mayor's office, and then letters to the businesses and all, and we would work that through fairly quickly, I would think. Is that true, Shelley? I mean, that's so your time frame here is like the next couple weeks for.
Oh, sorry, it's taking me a minute to get unmuted on my phone. I think if there's a letter that goes to Commissioner Crum, that should probably go out right away, because we don't really know what's going to happen. We need to, I think, emphasize that as long as there is a 14-day mandatory state, 14-day quarantine, we need to have the tools that we can to help the state to discern, you know, who's under quarantine over here. So that should probably go out right away. Leah at the Visitors Association has started work on a letter to businesses. And I think that's probably going to be in progress the next, you know, next couple of days. I don't know whether that was, I think that was planned to go out through the council. Maybe someone else knows better than me. But yeah, she's working on that. So we have a little more time on that. I think for purposes of if the governor does decide to continue the quarantine mandate or continue it in a smaller time frame, then we probably really ought to have access to the travel form. So I would urge that that go out fairly quickly.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, I've heard from three council members. Okay, Susan, I see you. You're next, let me.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I may have a more pessimistic view than some others. I just think that all state protections are going to evaporate within 10 days or so. So trying to impose 14-day quarantines doesn't really make any sense to me. It doesn't make sense in terms of the clients and customers of our businesses. They don't even stay in Alaska for 14 days, much less quarantine here for 14 days. So I tend to favor trying to collaborate with our local businesses to find ways that we can mutually agree to protect our critical infrastructure from the impact of importing dozens of virus, asymptomatic virus positive people into our community. In particular, I'm worried about our some of the employees of our businesses, like at Alaska Airlines and at the Fireweed Gallery and at the Sunnyside Deli, if we can convince them it's good to open. I'm very concerned about protecting them and making them feel safe to go to work. And so maybe I would favor the where do we go from here is working with the local businesses to come up with some strategies about how we can protect our people and our most critical infrastructure for like importing food and medicines and exporting people who are ill and things like that. So I would favor maybe talking to some local business people about would they consider funding buying 1,000 masks and telling their customers that you don't go on the dock or you don't go into the airport or you don't go down to Four Corners or into Sunnyside Market if the Danielsons favor such a strategy without putting on a mask. And we have the masks available at the places of business, and we ask those business owners what will make them feel that their employees and their families are safe from importing coronavirus-positive people, because sometimes people like to compare COVID-19 to the flu, but it's very different from the flu in that it's invisible. And you can't look at somebody and say, oh, you're sick. And so it is inevitable that when the 14-day when the restrictions on travel evaporate, we are going to have people who come to our community who have this virus. So where to go? Work with the local businesses to come up with some strategies that they'll support financially as well as intellectually. And, you know, get those strategies started up so that we can be ahead of the first ferry and the first jet. And so our timeline is June 4th. And mid-June for the first ferry. And I would very much in terms of in the how to get this done as well, encourage you, Mr. Mayor, to write a letter of support for the Juneau Assembly's letter to the governor to say make us up our testing ability and make us a central location for anybody coming into the state going through Juneau gets tested. And we would like to be able to support same day testing. I know testing isn't everything, but it's something. And if we have testing, and if we have, our businesses contribute to buying, industrial quantities of hand sanitizer, and we work with our local businesses to formulate drive-up service and some restrictions on wearing masks to go in, maybe these pieces will help us to control a potential outbreak here. So timeline, very short. What to do, write a letter in support of the Juneau mayor's letter to the governor, and let's see if we can get this figured out in the next 10 days. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Susan. You answered all the questions very well, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you. Brittany?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you to Shelley and Mike and Joe and Susan. I think you all have really good ideas, and I really appreciate your ideas, Susan, about trying to mitigate it on the ground just as best as we can. I personally feel, and I think that maybe a lot of people do, that the governor's ideas to lift the restrictions is very premature. But if we can keep our community as safe as possible on the ground and work with the businesses, if the council wanted to go in that direction, I would be really happy to help Susan communicate with people. But I don't really have much more to add than that.
Okay, thanks, Brittany. Joe V, you're next.
Yeah, it sounds like from the conversation here that we're somewhat assuming that the governor is going to lift that quarantine restriction. I don't know if that's the case or not. If he doesn't, then things are pretty well fixed for a while yet. If it does go away, I guess I had a question for Travis. Have we received any plans from business owners on how they would deal with this thing, bringing people into town from out of state? And if so, are any of those plans believable? Does it look like something that they can pull off, or is it just hopeful?
Go ahead,
Mr. Mayor. I can answer. Yeah. So they have been turning in some basic plans, but nothing more than what the state reopen phase two kind of required them to do, which is just their basic mitigation plans that aren't reviewed by the state at this time. That mandate 10 required them to do the business operating plans. I'm sure that that it's going to be something that comes up here shortly. I've been saying that talks in our emergency management meetings, there is charter industry talks going on and most likely a mandate coming out in the next, they've been saying for now for the next couple of weeks, but it's got to get closer here soon. So I'm assuming that that mandate's going to come out. That's going to give them more direction on what they have to do to help also protect the communities that they're going to be bringing people into. Rumor has it it's supposed to be close to the mix between the commercial fishing and the fish plant working or fish plant mandates, kind of a mix between those two as far as security of their people and buildings staying in sight, and also the when they go from place to place and having those mitigation plans if they were to go to another community. But they're not really turning in a bunch yet, mainly because we don't know where that industry is going to go yet, and we're still waiting for the direction on what those mandates are going to be. But they are starting to send in some of their mitigation plans, which, like I said, aren't reviewed by the state. And Shelley made that assumption or pointed that out. But there's no way that the state's going to review those, because, I mean, we have a bunch of businesses in our town that have to fill those out. And if they have to review every single one around the state, communities, businesses, those aren't, that's a, not going to be productive in their mind. So they're not going to review those. They all do have fines if they don't follow those things, but hopefully I can answer these same questions at the end of it. So I'll just pause here.
Okay, Joe, you asked the question of Travis. Is are you you're okay? You don't have anything to add or no?
Thank you, Travis. I guess I agree with Susan's proactive approach there. We have to assume that things may open up and to try and find things that we can do to stay ahead of the game. Thought she had good ideas.
Okay. I really agree with Susan on where we go from here. I think, and a lot of the what we heard from Joe and all is that, I think that. We are going to have visitors this summer from out of state. I don't know if the 14-day quarantine is going to go beyond June 2nd. I think it is now. It goes to June 2nd now. And after that, I'm not sure how additional local restrictions could be put in place. And I'm not sure how would we even enforce them if we had them. Because there is no enforcement authority here. So those are some of the things that I'm trying to get over on this, hurdles I'm trying to get over as well, if we're going to go something more restrictive than what the governor's mandates are. I've always been in favor of staying as close to the governor's mandates as we possibly can, because at least those were enforceable, and we had something backing it up, the state. As far as letters to the governor and commissioners and all, I just kind of wanted to review with folks some of the letters I've already sent. April 17th letter to Governor Dunleavy requesting that the 14-day quarantine for interstate travel be extended to July 1. I sent that, like I said, April 17th, we sent that letter. I think the governor knows our interests along those lines as far as the 14-day quarantine for interstate travel. Also on April 29, a letter to Dunleavy again about the charter fishing and reopening plans. I also, in that letter, reiterated the importance of the 14-day interstate travel quarantine. So we have been sending correspondence to the governor's office, continuing to support the 14-day quarantine for interstate travel. Like I said, it's going to June 2nd now. Hopefully, it might get extended beyond that. If not, we have to respond, and we're going to have to do it by working with the businesses. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to get by with more restrictive measures than the state, especially with our enforcement situation the way it is now.
Cal, you're on mute.
Sorry, I got cut off, and there was a, yeah, I'm sorry. Where was I? Anyway, so you know, we are corresponding. We did, and like I said, we will continue to correspond with them. I think some of the suggestions from Mike earlier are great, and we'll, I'll work with you, Mike, and all to get some correspondence out to the governor's office on that. So, I guess with that, is there any other comments on this big picture look or anything or any other? I know there was some hands held up from the council member earlier. I think Mike, you had your hand up earlier, but so I just want to make sure we close out on this big picture look here, make sure everybody's got. Oh, and maybe I should have Travis say something as well to close this out as well.
I'll let Mike go first and then I can talk. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Mayor, the Susan's suggestion actually is a good fit with the second part of my suggestion. And the first part with regard to asking the, continuing to ask the governor to extend the mandate is useful in that it's more efficient for the state to be checking these people as at the ports of entry and have some control over that than it is for every little village and community like ours to do it. So that piece is I think is worth pressing them, continuing to press the governor to keep extending that for a while, because it's really a more efficient approach to controlling the entry of the virus and keeping the amount of virus in the state something that the state can control with the existing systems. But the second part of my recommendation ties in quite well with what Susan had suggested, but it just suggests that the talking points with the businesses would be to suggest that they follow the state guidelines and develop their plans using those state guidelines. So we're just suggesting that, you know, we'd help the businesses do what the state's already recommending. And one thing I didn't add to that was that we should look for opportunities, particularly if we're trying to open up Alaska to Alaskans, to boost the advertising for Gustavus businesses through the Visitors Association around Alaska, inviting people to come perhaps to COVID-free Gustavus, you know, and Charterfish or whatever. So we're not going to get as much business for those businesses as if they have a lot of people coming from the lower 48, but at least it's something while the external quarantine is in place. Once the external quarantine goes away, then we're strictly in the second half of my recommendations on that list that I emailed to you earlier that makes the most of the guidelines the state offers and works with the businesses in the manner that Susan's suggesting to both assure that we have public health protection to the extent we can here, but also help them make the most of the tough economic situation. Thanks for letting me have a little more.
Okay, Travis, do you have any closing comments?
Yes, thank you. So I want to thank the council for, I've been saying a few of these things to a few of you members for a long time now, it feels like, preaching that we should sit down with these businesses and talk to them before we start making resolutions that dictate their jobs and their livelihood of their careers and all of that stuff. So I think that sitting down and talking with these businesses and seeing how we can come to a mutual agreement and have a win-win situation for both of us. It doesn't mean that we're all going to win 100%, but we might have to sacrifice. We might each have to sacrifice a little bit of our business or what we're doing in some of our, what we want to do for regulations to allow some of this to happen. So I've been wanting to sit down with the industry and see what their plans were from day one. And I'm just glad that we're finally going to start looking at that and do that. Now that we're getting even closer, we should have been doing this beforehand, but thank you for that. And moving forward on those things.
I am working with, I didn't want to talk about it tonight because I haven't gone all the way into it, but I am working and have some leads with Search that I'm going to be calling tomorrow, talking with their higher ups and their big wigs about expanding testing in Gus Davis and offering some drive up testing, and hopefully even pitching the idea of something in the Juneau airport to have some sort of testing option similar to Anchorage and Bethel for the Southeast region or hospital or clinics that they serve around the communities. We have to remember that Search has taken, bought out the clinic from Wrangell, and that they have taken on the health, that this side of the healthcare for our community, and should have that the best well-being for our community also. So all of these letters that we write to the state, that's awesome, but we should also be writing to Search and pushing Search to keep us on up to date as possible on what they're going to do for rural and small town, not just Gustavus, but all of the clinics and all of the communities that they're serving it also. The reopen phase three does allow small communities to add on some other stuff. It's on, if you go to the little tiny 10 point font link that's on the top of the page, on the second page of that little thing, it does allow us that we just have to get approval from the state. So if we did want to, let's say, mandate testing on everybody that came into town from out of state, not saying the state will agree to that, we could write that out. And if we had the possibility or wanted to spend $175 to test everybody that came into the town, you know, we could see if that could pass from the state. So we can do some more restrictive measures, and we could probably be similar to what it was before the mandate got changed and they added the ferry route in to being on part of the road system in theory. So I think we do have a lot of latitude to change and go back to where we wanted. We just have to write it all out and come up with a good, clear plan to present to the state and have some backing on how we're going to do that. And even some of those enforcement sides of it could still fall under the state's enforcement, which is in ultimately the community turning people in if that's what they want to do. And the community being the security guards of some of these charter lodges that might have large numbers of people coming in and do that. You know, the fish plant people have to have security guards around their places. And if they leave most of those fish plants, they get fired on the spot and shipped out of town and could face fines and all that stuff by breaking those rules. So I really do think that we need to move quickly. I'm hoping to come up with a bunch of stuff to send out to the mayor on Monday with talking to people around the community on what we think as a community we should be doing to proactively do this. The hard part is the jet, the small planes, the private planes, the ferry, the skiffs, and how do we track all of those people coming in? And it's just got to be a huge community effort. And our vision statement is has the words like community policing, I believe, are the words in it. It's on the wall right there by the projector. And we just have to act as a community and protect ourselves as a community and hope that those charter operators want to have the best interest in our community, not just for their pockets and all of that stuff. So I think that I'm going to present some ideas. I'll send it to the mayor so that he can send it all out to you guys on Monday, hopefully, with some ideas that a bunch of us have come up with and maybe a plan on what we could do to help mitigate the problems. But ultimately, we need to sit down with a few of these operators and see what their plans are for the season and how we can come together and have a win-win situation for both of us and do that before the interstate travel ban gets lifted. And hopefully that doesn't happen. So thank you for finally talking with them and going that route. That's going to be huge.
Okay, I'm going to have Karen put up the latest version of CY20-16. Can everybody see it on your
I see the first page.
Thanks. Yeah, I see it too. So this is the latest version that Shelley sent earlier today? Yeah, it sent earlier today. Has some changes to it. So how does everybody feel about this? Are we, has everybody had a chance to see these edits that we got, or see that? Go ahead, Shelley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to explain to people what the edits were about, I removed all of the whereases that pertain to the health mandates that had been rescinded in our resolutions that were no longer effective. So it basically what it comes down to is it now is limited to Health Mandate 10, which is the interstate quarantine. There's no additional restrictions. It's a matter of just emphasizing that within the community of Gustavus, the docks are and the small boat harbor are considered public spaces for purposes of people that are using the want to use the floats and the harbor that haven't completed their quarantine.
Okay, Joe Clark, you're next.
This mandate 10.1, which currently requires a mandatory 14-day quarantine to all Gustavus visitors, is basically a real killer to our charter boat people. As Resolution 10 now stands, it could go on for months unless formally rescinded, but it may stand as written just to fend off future lawsuits against the state. At least that's a true possibility. And I don't know which, I'm down at the bottom here. Shelley had there something about additional protocols for Gustavus are approved by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. As long as we have Mandate 10 in there, it just gives and I believe that this resolution is aimed at further Gustavus restrictions, even though we're part of the Marine Highway. So in my opinion, as well as many others that I've spoken to, this resolution is aimed at further indefinite restrictions. And for that reason, I think we ought to just table it.
Well, this is not a business meeting at table. We're just trying to come up with something that might be acceptable to a fair majority of the council at the next business meeting where it would be approved.
I lean towards the basically I lean towards the voluntary health measures that Susan suggested. I think that our businesses can in good faith follow do that. It doesn't put us at war with our visitors. And I think that we ought to really have a vision towards opening up Gustavus and not being fearful.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Joe. Mike Taylor, I'll lower your hand.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This resolution is only in effect while mandate 10s, or while the state's requirement for a self-quarantine of incoming visitors from the lower 48 is in effect. And so this aligns up with what we've been talking about not creating anything that is any stronger than the existing state requirements. All it does is emphasize that this is, that the marine facilities are public places, and that people who are subject to the quarantine are not under this, under the state requirements, are not supposed to be out in public places like this because they are potential nodes of transmission. So all this does is apply the state's mandate while the state's mandate is in effect. Once the state's mandate goes away, then this automatically goes away. I am in favor personally of keeping that external quarantine in place because I consider the visitors coming from the lower 48 to be what Alaska's big risk is. We've done very well as a state so far, partly because of the work of the State Department of Health and the epidemiologists, but also because of our geographic location and the weather that has kept people out in the past months. And so that has made it easy for the state of Alaska to probably have the best record of all the states. But we have no control over the behaviors of people in the lower 48 who come up here and who don't necessarily have the same interest of protecting Alaskans that we do. So while the state has that, feels that that is still useful, then I think this resolution reinforces it with regard to its application at our marine facility. So that's why I supported it during the time that mandate remains in effect. Thanks.
Okay, Brittany, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Am I correct in my understanding that as a city, we cannot create a resolution or pass a resolution that supersedes any of the state's mandates?
I guess the short answer to your question is that apparently there is a way for us to enact further restrictions beyond the state, but we have to work with the state to make that happen. And apparently there's a way to do it. We'd have to explore how to do it.
Okay, thank you. So I guess Travis, did you want to speak?
No.
Okay.
If you can give a better answer than I can, go ahead.
Well, I guess I accidentally hit mute. It was an accident, but there is a spot. I'll send you a link in your email real quick, Brittany, that says where I found, or where we, Tom and I and other people have found where it says that. It doesn't give us any guidance yet. It's just that we'd have to propose things, and the state can basically say yes or no, or here's a better way or something like that. But I'll send you a link where I found.
Okay, thanks, Travis. I guess it doesn't really change the way that I feel, which is that because we have no real way to enforce it, our own mandates that could potentially supersede the state's mandates, I think it's important that if we pass this resolution and it aligns with what the state is doing, for as long as the state has the quarantine period underway, then I think I'm in favor of doing this. It just seems like a no-brainer to keep our community as safe as possible for as long as we can. So I support this resolution. Thanks.
Okay, Susan,
I'm going to recognize you. I'm trying to go one at a time around the council table first, and then I'll pick up people who've already had a chance to comment. So Susan, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I'm a little confused. If all this resolution does is say that our local businesses need to follow the state interstate travel restrictions, why do we need a resolution to say that? The state says that already. And when the state unsays that, then it would unsay this resolution. So I'm confused about what the necessity for this is. The rule already exists. Thank you.
Joe Van Der Zanden, do you want to speak on this? First chance on this one.
Yeah, I was wondering the same question that Susan just asked. The main meat of this thing is all aimed at the dock down there and the charter boats, where there's plenty of other places that come under fire. There's kayak businesses and different things. I don't know if there's going to be whale watching, but that would involve the dock. It does seem like if the state does lift the quarantine restriction, then all of this goes away, and I don't see the need for it either right now.
Okay, one last council member to listen to for the first round, that'd be me, so here I go. I kind of agree with Joe V and Susan. I don't see what the issue is here. First of all, if you're supposed to be on a 14-day quarantine, that means you're supposed to be on a 14-day quarantine. It means you stay inside. You're not at the dock. You're not going on a charter. You're not at the park. You're not at the library. You're not anywhere but in quarantine. And so for us to put out a resolution saying, if you're on a 14-day quarantine, don't be on the dock, we ought to be adding, well, don't be at the library, don't be at the park, don't be at all these other public spaces as well, correct? And also, why are we singling out one particular industry for this special attention of a resolution? As kind of mentioned before, it seems to me like we're automatically expecting that charter boat clients and charter boat operators are automatically going to try to find a way around a 14-day quarantine to let their clients fish. And I just don't think that's fair. And I don't think it's right for us to assume that that's going to happen right out of the box. So I prefer Susan's tact of trying to work cooperatively in partnership with our businesses and try to work out a way to make this work for everybody so that residents are safe, workers are safe, and maybe some folks can go out and catch some fish at the same time. So I prefer to work in partnership with our businesses, especially a cornerstone of our economic stability in this town, rather than trying to make trying to single out where we think there might be problems. You know, I'm not sure rewording any of this is going to help me get by some of that stuff, but you know, if the council's willing to put this on the agenda for the business meeting, we'll work on it. But I'm kind of with some other folks. I'm looking to spend my energy where it can be a little more efficient and effective. That's all I have to say. Okay, we can go around for a second round of comment from the council. I see Shelley with her hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to respond to Brittany's question about what the city can do, which is stronger than existing state requirements. We had the in the health mandate 12, attachment B was a small community emergency travel order, which we no longer have. That was the only thing that we had access to where we could have more stringent requirements. In the Alaska Municipal League handout that Karen sent around, looks like it was 8 o'clock in the morning on 8:08 on Tuesday, May 12th. The Alaska Municipal League, and the third paragraph down, says any community that would like to have more restrictions than currently being proposed under this mandate or mandate 16 needs to contact Commissioner Crum to discuss. And then it gives the email for him and for his assistant. So that's the process by which small communities could request additional restrictions. The only thing I've suggested is that if we have this mandate, you know, the quarantine, that we also have access to the mandatory travel forms, since those are attached to health mandate 10. Let's see, and to Cal, you were, I guess there's three folks that are saying, well, why is it needed? It's needed because it defines that the dock area, and not the state dock, I mean, we don't control that, but the small floats and then the Salmon River Harbor are public spaces. People may not intuitively think that something that's out in the open is a public space under the quarantine rules. So this is for purposes of education and alerting people that you know, why you may be avoiding the library and the liquor store and other places, that these are public spaces. The other thing, too, is that because this is the charter industry, there's been resistance and there's been interviews in the Juneau Empire and other things where we've been hearing that there's a lot of resistance from the charter industry to cooperate with the quarantine. They may not be willing, you know, to abide by the rules. It's a business model that brings in people every week on a weekly basis. So the idea of bringing them in for a longer period of time to quarantine is going to be something that they may be resistant. It's been estimated we get 60 to 100 people coming through every week on a weekly basis, and so it's the high degree of risk that we're facing. I think the whole notion of first port of entry testing would be something that it wouldn't eliminate the asymptomatic people that may not, well, I guess the asymptomatic people would be tested too, but so there may be other things, other protections for us, but this is a very important message that I think it's just one of the tools that we have to get the word out. And
Joe Clark, you're next.
I think what I just heard was even if mandate 10.1 is lifted, that we can go begging to the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services for further restrictions. I think it's an unwise direction to go. It will put us at loggerheads with our visitors. I think that I just lean towards Shelley or Susan's ideas towards voluntary health measures. And I'll leave it at that.
Go ahead, Mike, you're next.
Yeah, Joe, I'd actually agree with what you just said. I don't think it's practical for us to do something, again, with a local quarantine. To begin with, I don't see any point in quarantining other Alaskans that are coming from communities that most of them don't have COVID anyway. But there was one other rationale behind this, and I know we have some charter operators listening who maybe have been thinking about these things too, but The charter industry was listed as essential infrastructure in some of the earlier mandates. And that means that when, at least when their employees have business to do in support of their essential infrastructure activity, i.e. the charter fishing business, they can go about that business even while they are in quarantine. But so that would mean they could certainly get their boats ready and do things like that. However, in my view, that dispensation does not extend to their clients. And so this is a reminder that they can't use that as a loophole to go ahead and bring everybody in with no quarantine, go down to the dock and go out and fish and do all that stuff. Under the existing quarantine provisions of the state, that is not allowed, in my view. So that's part of the rationale for it also. And that's why it seems to be aimed at them. But it does also apply to kayak outfits and so forth, too, just the same. They could they may try to or have in mind doing something similar, too. But everybody who's under quarantine would have to stay away from the dock during that quarantine period as long as the state imposes it. Thanks. Well, let me add one other thing too. If this can be done administratively, that's also, by working with the businesses so that they adopt this same thing as part of their mitigation plans, then that works just as well. This was just a way of stating it as a resolution states city policy, and that's what we use resolutions for, is to put out what our policy is. Thanks.
Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to read for you here. And I want to take a moment to thank Whitney Rapp for sending along the link to this letter from the Juneau City and Borough to the governor, with Juneau's offer to work with the governor's administration to become a regional testing center for this. I mean, rather than us trying to stand up some kind of testing protocol here, why don't we just have everybody in Juneau get tested before they get on the plane or get on the ferry? I just wanted to read to you part of that letter. Juneau is also very aware of our role as a regional medical center for smaller towns that do not have healthcare facilities adequate in the event of a breakout of COVID-19. We ask you to consider the needs of those communities in the context of modifications to the health mandates. We believe that working with your administration can make Juneau a testing center for these industries that can allow Alaskans to get back to work and to advance the economic interests of the state while looking out for public health. With excellent air service to the towns and villages of Southeast, we are well poised to provide same-day testing in the region and possibly assist in testing for the rest of the state. We would like to partner with your administration in pursuit of this goal. So it seems to me if we link up with the bigger guys and if they're, especially if they're going to collaborate with Travis said about CERC standing up some testing, then maybe we can help, cut down on the amount of asymptomatic positives who walk up Dock Road to Four Corners by having them tested before they even get here. So I think that's a really useful way for us to proceed and link arms with Juneau. Thank you.
Joe Vanderzan, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on Shelley's statement that she said on an average day you might see 60 to 100 people arriving in Gustavus, and that may be true in a normal year, but with the lodge closed and no day boat, I don't know what Todd Sieben's going to do with his whale watching on the Taz. But I know for a fact that there are a lot of seniors that come here normally in the summer for whatever reason, a lot of it is fishing, are canceling just because it's not worth taking the chance for them. The actual numbers that we see this summer is going to be, I think, a fraction of what she mentioned, maybe even a small fraction. That's
okay, I was just talking with Karen on where we go from here on kind of how this moves forward. I guess what Karen could do is clean this up, clean this version up, get it all ready, and put it in our work session package for June 1. We would get one last shot at a work session at it, and then we would just have an up or down vote on this resolution at our June 8th regular meeting. It would might make the whole thing moot though if the interstate travel quarantine goes away on the 2nd. But I guess we could proceed that way if the council wants to. Is there any suggested, any additional suggested edits we need to put on this? Otherwise, I think maybe that's what I'll have Karen do. Oh, Shelley, I see you. Hold on. Go ahead, Shelley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess if the, well, let me think about this. If it were, so we're looking at a June 2nd date. Never mind.
So unless I hear any objections, I guess that's how we're going to proceed. I'll have Karen clean up this version. We'll get one last look at it at our work session on June 1st. For our regular business meeting on June 8th, where we will actually take action on it. Is that okay? Do I hear any objections? Okay, oops, I'm sorry. No, I see Joe there, sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
That's okay. I just think we ought to shelve this, but I'm willing to vote on it. So go ahead and clean it up. And by clean it up, I don't know exactly what that means, but I guess it's something we can go to a vote on. Maybe, as we say, moot by the time we get to it.
I'm sorry, when I say clean it up, I was referring to this red line strikeout version I'm looking at our screen. That'd be a pretty easy thing for Karen to fix up and put it all back.
Thank you for that clarification, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, well, that was the two main things I wanted to discuss with y'all. I guess I'll be seeing some stuff from Travis on, Susan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before we close up, I just wanted to say that we are starting to form up this group to try to wrestle with some of these financial impacts of the COVID virus with the Economic Stabilization Task Force. That would be an excellent place to have some folks come and talk about how can we make this work in the next series of days here. The next meeting is tomorrow night from 7 to 8, and the link is right there on the city meetings page, Economic Stabilization Task Force. And I would be very interested if some of the business folks would weigh in and say whether doing something like having a testing in Juneau, it might extend a visitor's trip by half a day or a day, but would that be an acceptable route for them to help protect the public? And I think it's really important that we have these conversations. I mean, Travis can talk personally and individually with folks, but I think it's really important to bring these conversations into the broader community. So I invite everybody who's on the meeting tonight to come tomorrow night. I will try my very best to make it only last for 60 minutes. And it's at 7 o'clock. The link is on the city meetings page, and I hope to see you there.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, can I say one last thing?
No, go ahead, Travis. Go right ahead.
I just want to make sure that the council knows that the state is in Southeast Alaska are really concerned about the charter industry and the fact that they could bring the virus into the communities. In my meetings that I have biweekly with all of the emergency managers, they're just finishing this fish plant thing. And they understand that the charter industry poses more of a threat to them than the fish plant industry does. They're just waiting to finish this fish plant thing to move on for like Ketchikan, Sitka, Juneau, and those bigger communities to help put some better policies and procedures in for the charter industry and to keep the virus out of Alaska. They all understand that they have tons of different lodges all over their community that interact in the community different than the fish plant operators do. So if we're seeing positive tests in the fish plant operations right now, we're going to see positive tests in the charter operations. So once these bigger players start catching on, it might feel like we're not hearing much from the state right now, but the big players in the state are also dealing with their big fish plants and how they deal with the thousands of people that come in on that. And then they'll worry on, they'll start fixing this, how we deal with the problem of visitors coming in every day and charter operations and switching out those people. So I don't want people in the community and everybody to feel like we're not worrying about that. It is being talked about daily in our meetings and all of that. It's just prioritizing the order of operations and how those operations are opening within the state. So I just want to make sure that we're not trying to pass this through and not have anything stricter mandates or regulations on them. They're fighting the fish plants and we don't have that fish plant to put that fight into. So it doesn't feel like we're doing much, but we really are talking about it in meetings. So they understand it's a bigger problem than the fish plant industry. So.
So thanks, Travis. I think, Karen, did you want to add something as well?
Two things. I'll be not in the office tomorrow, but Phoebe will be here tomorrow, and there's some stuff that needs to be signed, and there's also a card for each of the council members that it looks like was mailed that we received on the 11th of May, and I don't know how else to get them to you unless you come and pick them up. So if you guys could stop by tomorrow when you're out and about and grab your card, as well as see if there's anything that needs to be signed. I think that's all I got.
Okay, thanks, Karen. Is there any other council comment before we... Doesn't look to be. We are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.